Welcome to Perception Check, an actual play D&D podcast where a bunch of friends get together and play D&D questionably. This episode, really excited to get this one out. Lots of crazy fun interacting with Kit, as well as a really good story beat as well. I was really happy with how everyone kind of played their characters in this role. Really made sense. So, enjoy! Previously on Perception Check, the Coalition of Light spent 2 years growing their name and also facing terrible tragedy as 22 students and one teacher were killed outside of the school. They also helped fight back some of the rising opposition against the Coalition working for Nicholas Mage. We joined them during a 3-year anniversary that Smarteldor threw for them as spirits were kind of getting down, as people were leaving the school, parents were pulling their kids out. And David Horselhoff, who was taken aback quite a bit by the events that happened of the students dying, where he tried to help them, announced that he was going to be receiving a medal at the Kingdom of Prideborn, where he's from. So our heroes joined him and watched the ceremony, which was great. David Horselhoff was very David. And as the celebration continued and fireworks went off, David actually killed the king, found out that he was possessed by none other than Nicholas Mage. Kit fought back, knocking David across the courtyard, had Topher climb on and grabbed a cart that everyone else got into, and their job now is to escape the city. Good luck, heroes.
Treasure and adventure await those who dare to seek what lie in the shadows of evil. Our realm will have to call upon its newest heroes.
Hi, my name is Matt. I play Garrel Embersoul, the Genesi Wizard.
This is Adrian. I play River Song, the Wood Elf Druid.
Hi, my name is Chris, and I play Topher Biznach, the Wood Elf Ranger.
I am Josh. I play Erebus Blackheart, a Dragonborn Fighter.
I'm Corey, and I will be your Dungeon Master.
Now join us as we venture forth to glory on this episode of Perception Check.
Okay, so you are now sprinting down these alleyways as cracks are chasing you. You have on your right side, the cracks kind of overtake Kit, and a hole opens up, and a goblin jumps onto the right side of the cart. Garrel, where are you sitting on this cart?
I assumed I would be in the back.
In the back? On the top? I think Erebus climbs
on the top.
Yeah, so he's kind of sitting in the back.
Wait, is that a covered carriage?
It's not covered.
Okay.
It's like a wagon.
It kind of goes down. There's 2 seats and then 1 seat kind of back behind it.
2 seats. Okay.
Left or right?
I guess I'll just go on the right. That's fine.
Okay, you go on the right, and a goblin comes over, and he grabs onto the thing, and he's holding a dagger, and he goes, bah! At you. What do you do?
I just make a melee attack against him.
Okay.
Let's see what I've got, because I don't have a lot, but I do have my brass knuckles, so I think I'll just punch him straight off.
Yeah.
That's only a 10.
A 10? That'll do it. I mean, he's just sitting there holding on.
And then 1d4 plus
gonna,
0, but
yeah, we're
going to
be pretty loosey-goosey with this combat.
It's not like he can defend himself hanging
onto
the cart.
He jumps on and goes, ah, and you just go, pop, and pop him in the nose, and he goes falling back underneath one of the tires,
Sick.
Which causes kind of a bump. Topher, a couple of... skeletons jump down into kind of the center of the aisle to kind of block your way. What's your move?
Arrow, volley. I'll shoot them all.
Okay.
20?
20, that's going to hit.
And 20?
It's going to hit.
And,
a lot, that'll hit.
31, I think? okay, it, 15?
You don't even have to roll damage, dude. You're going to destroy them. You take out all of these three, And as you do, a large skeleton minotaur bursts out of the wall in front of you, and Kit, like, jumps up and just crushes it.
Oh,
and then
gross.
Keeps running as you're darting through, and it hits the tires, and you guys kind of bump again. Erebus, you're in the back. You see a lot of these skeletal zombie horses start kind of, like, coming up, being ridden by fiends. And there are two of them that are now chasing the cart, trying to catch up. What do you do?
I'm going to go for the horses.
Okay.
And I'm going to use my blade ring.
Okay.
On both.
Okay.
So...
are you curving it to hit both?
No.
Okay.
No. So the first one's going to miss. That was a critical fail.
Okay. So the first one misses, kind of dodges out of the way.
The second one's going to be 23 to hit.
Yeah, that'll do it.
That'll do. 21.
21? Yeah. Okay, so you hit the horse, and you actually cut off one of its legs, and it stumbles and flings the fiend forward, and they're gone in the distance. Oh, they're zombie horses.
Skeleton zombie horse.
Oh, okay.
Still
horse.
So what's now horse? You guys are riding, and you're like, oh, and you look up, and Bert is just sprinting across the rooftops, and he actually jumps up onto one guy and kind of turns and kicks off of him, kicking him off the building, and spins and stabs another guy and keeps running as he's going.
So Bert's awesome. Running.
Yeah, he's, like, trying as best as he can. You see him every now and then, like, shoot his arrow with a rope and, like, pull himself, like, to try and give himself extra boost as he's going and pick up the arrow. River, it's your turn. You're on the left side? Mm-hmm. Okay. You roll a perception check.
18.
You hear and kind of feel bumping and scuttling along the bottom of the cart. And you can kind of look and see one of the wheels on the cart is starting to get a little loose. What do you do?
Cast mending on the wheel.
Okay. You heal the wheel, and you kind of hear a voice from below the thing go, "Damn it!" as it kind of heals, as it's kind of messing around with it. And that was your action, correct?
Yep.
Cool. So now it is back up to... okay, so that horse is going to gain some ground, and the fiend is going to take out a kind of a flaming coal-looking, like, spear, and he's going to try to throw it at Erebus. And that's not going to do it. That's going to miss.
Damn.
So it goes over the cart as you duck down. Okay. And misses. So, Geralt, on your side, up along the buildings, you see one of them from a distance getting ready to volley a shot over at Bert across the street to the other building.
Okay. Is there still the guy underneath our cart?
Yes.
Okay. I think I just hurl a fireball at the guy that's... take care of my friends first.
Okay.
And that's just a ranged spell attack. 7 plus 14. 20... what is that?
21.
To hit.
Okay. You hit him, and he goes, bah! And he still gets the shot off, but it's off target. And okay. Bert kind of sees it coming, and he decides to detour... and he jumps off of the buildings. And the cart's going fast enough to where it kind of goes past, but he uses his bow with the rope, the arrow with the rope, to shoot it into the back of the cart. And he lands hard and tumbles, but he's connected. So he's now being dragged behind the cart as you guys are going, and he's pretty close to this horse now.
Okay, do I need to worry about the damage to that guy?
Because
it's 1d10.
To the guy on the roof?
Yeah, that I hit.
No, he's dead.
Okay.
Is there anything in the cart that I can throw? Oh, I guess I'm not in the cart.
Well,
I do, but I'm not in the
Well,
do
Chris,
that.
It's your turn.
Fourth level spell.
And you see you're approaching some nicer houses, some different, like, kind of inns that have balconies. And there's a lot of demons on these balconies kind of volleying arrows at you guys. And one is actually sticking out pretty far, and he is holding a shield.
Sweet.
So what do you want to do to this guy as you're flying past?
Okay, so this is what I want to do. I want to grab the shield. Okay, so I have a dragon fang on my bow.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to kind of, in one motion, I want to stab him in the throat with the dragon fang, and then pull the the shield and chuck it behind me towards
okay, cool.
to Bert. And I'm gonna yell, I'm gonna stab the guy and yell, Bert! And throw him the okay. shield. Coming at you, Bert. And I got
plenty hell yeah, dude.
To kill him.
Okay, so you stab this dude and you throw the shield back, and I already rolled for Bert. Awesome. You throw the shield as it skips across the ground, and he turns and he reaches out and grabs the shield and puts it under his feet and yes. stands up and yes. draws his bow again. Yes. As he is being dragged behind this cart as you guys are nice. Going through the streets.
Bert's sledding.
Yeah. Basically,
he's
yeah.
He's super cool. He's wakeboarding behind our cart.
Yeah, as he's going. Okay, there is actually a crack in the ground, and there is a large bump that your cart hits. Kit and Topher jump over it nicely, but the cart hits it. Everyone roll a dexterity check.
19 plus...
17?
2. 21.
Okay.
I got 5, but I'm going to use guidance so I can... Before the spell ends, the target can roll a d4, add the number rolled to any ability check of its choice.
Okay, is that like a bonus or a reaction?
It's a cantrip.
It's a cantrip? That's an action you'd have to take
well,
on your
turn. Well, it
says
it can roll the dice before or after the ability, making the ability.
Oh, okay, cool.
Oh, nice.
I didn't know that. That's awesome.
Yeah, it doesn't really help me much, so I got 6.
Okay.
I got a 1.
So you guys bounce hard, and River, you actually fly off of this... carriage that you're okay. on and kind of go up into the air. I want you to roll another dexterity check.
5. I rolled the same number.
There's a 5? Okay. Well, I think Bert's will probably cover it because he's back there, and as you kind of hit, you're going to take 6 points of damage from falling, but Bert's going to kind of catch you, and he's going to kind of pull you up and exchange the shield with you and attach the rope okay. to you. So he's kind of like hanging out, like kind of grabbed onto you, but he's got you hooked up to the thing now.
Can I say cherry as a bonus action and throw my shield under my feet?
Oh, hell yeah, you can. All right, awesome.
So they have, because I was going to say...
So now
I
you both
like,
have shields.
I feel like Bert Trey flipped the shield over the crack when it hit the bomb.
Oh, yeah, he totally like fucking flipped it. It was sick. He did a 900. hold on, dexterity check.
Okay, 720. Yeah.
No, it wasn't,
wasn't
a 900.
Enough for a 900.
It was a stale fish 360. I don't know. That's a thing, right? Yeah, I'm trying to remember Tony Hawk. Yeah. All right, so Erebus,
snowboarding term, but...
it's technically your turn.
Okay.
You still have this horse that is very, very close to... Bert and River, who are now both surfing behind.
12 to hit?
12 to hit?
Yeah.
Yeah, that'll do it.
Okay.
What are you attacking?
The horse, the other horse again.
Hmm.
So, 3, 2, and 4. So, 9 damage?
9 damage. Okay, you get it pretty good along the side. It's,
I'm going to go ahead and action surge.
Nice, okay.
And I'm going to hit it with a Eldritch Blast.
Okay. Ooh. Hold on. So you're from the back, and Bert and River are in between the horse and that.
Oh, okay, never mind. I won't do that then.
Okay.
I'll hold my action surge.
Okay. You'll hold on to your action surge. Okay, so... your turn's done. It is now Bert's, and Bert's actually going to request something. What's up?
Oh, okay. No, I thought it was my turn. I apologize.
Oh, no. You're, like, first in the order after a main event. So Bert's going to go, and he's kind of holding on, sharing the rope that he did, and he kind of looks back, and he's like, anyone have rope?
I have rope.
Okay.
The 50 feet.
Yeah, we can suspend Bert's action for you to throw a rope to him.
Okay. So I'd...
Go ahead and roll a... What would that be?
Strength?
Dex.
Dex.
Dex. Dex check.
Oh, no.
Critical fail.
Yes, Bert got like a 2. So you throw it and he reaches, but he misses it and he tumbles and he starts rolling back and he is losing distance. He manages
actually,
to miss the horse.
Hold on. I'm going to go ahead and use my luck feat and I'm going to re-roll that.
Good call.
Okay.
Not a whole lot better, but it's not a critical fail, so 7.
Can I use guidance to add to his?
I got an idea.
No, I feel like even with Burt's 2, it's still going to be...
He kind of screwed himself here on a bad read, and he went tumbling backwards, and he misses the horse, but you can see the cracks kind of surround him, and he's kind of looking around, and it sinks, and there's kind of an explosion, so the rocks kind of flip up, and as the rock flips to the underside, you can kind of see Burt scrambling quickly. It flips and you lose sight of him, and as it spins around, you see a chalk door drawn on the bottom of the thing.
Oh, my goodness.
And it crashes back down into the pit.
Nice.
So now it's just you four going.
Okay.
I'm glad I came up with that.
I pathicate to him. Hey, are you all right?
And he's like, yeah, I'm on a couch. real quick, don't die.
Got it.
He's on a couch. You actually, when you pathicated to him, you accidentally did the secret lore thing and his information was couched.
Okay, River, I think, did we go your turn? No, it's your turn because Bert called for the rope and fell and wrapped that up.
Bert, he was so
graceful. Pull yourself back up on?
Well, I think I'm going to cast Produce Flame.
Mm-hmm.
And throw a fireball at the horse that's right behind me.
Okay. Range attack?
Yes. 11.
Flips. So
it's going to do 3d8 damage.
Oh, okay. No, I was...
9 damage.
Okay, yeah. So that will flip the horse and then... Yeah, that's fine.
You kill the horse murderer.
So that one's
a
good.
A zombie skeleton horse.
No, he said that there were zombie skeletons on horses. Way to kill a horse.
No, he mentioned that there were undead horses before.
Shh.
It was one killer's.
Garrel, what's your AC?
16.
Okay. Garrel, you get a sword jabbed up from below the cart that catches your leg, and it does...
I'm going to use my reaction then.
What's your reaction?
Shield, plus 5 AC.
Oh, okay. You
an
can
invisible
do that.
Barrier or magical force appears and protects you. Until the start of your next turn, you have plus 5 AC.
Okay.
So it doesn't hit.
No, it doesn't. You hear it go, and like instantly you're like, bam! And then
shield.
Save yourself.
I literally, let's just say, I had no idea that I even had, like, I've been using that spell all wrong.
Hey,
all so
good.
Now I used it right, I think.
No, it was really good. Sweet, so it missed. So you still got a goblin under there, and it is now your turn in the order.
Okay.
And now you know where he is.
Yeah, there's two under there, right?
There's just one.
That's just one? Okay.
Well,
so he's completely underneath.
I could have let you guess.
Well, I was going
to
do something anyway. But I think, can I, let's see, he's completely, like, is he hanging on underneath?
Yeah, he's like hanging
he's
on.
Like basically
you can't
being
see
dragged.
Him.
You don't know what he's doing.
Yeah, but he's underneath the cart. Think of like bad guys in movies when they're hiding under cars.
Like old Western. Okay, okay.
I will say he has taken some damage from some of these bumps.
But
okay.
I think the wheel to bottom of the cart ratio is
there's that big
that
bump
can,
that tossed River. That one kind of got him on the butt.
Okay, so I'm going to take my quarter staff.
Okay.
And I'm going to swing it down up underneath to hit him like in the head.
Okay, you do that, and River, on your side, you see a little goblin go shooting out from your side. I'm just going to say you do it.
Okay.
I was going to say, should I save to me?
A pull shot. Yeah, that would have hit anyway. And you see him kind of go, and then bursting out of the ground in front of you, you see a large zombie dire bear.
Bear?
Yeah, blocking the way between... you, Topher, and Freedom, basically. You're kind of nearing the end of this thing. You're almost out of the city. And looking behind you, everything's just collapsing behind you.
Okay.
And there's a dire bear?
A dire bear in front of
you.
Is
it my turn?
It's a zombie dire bear.
Yeah, it's your turn.
I'm going to aim for its eyes.
Okay.
Just with your arrow?
Yeah, just with an arrow. With an arrow, I got 24.
That will hit.
Sweet. I got 10 damage and one eyeball.
Okay, I'd say you significantly blind him in that eye.
And I'm going to shoot towards the other eye.
Okay.
Oh, 16.
That'll do.
Yes. And that one does 18 damage.
Yeah. Awesome. So it kind of turns as it gets these two arrows in its eyes, and it kind of turns and kind of like stumbles and goes just out of your way. And as you're racing past it, Kit tilts his head back and grabs onto the handle of your sword that you're riding on, mm-hmm. and he pulls it out and cuts the bear's head off as you guys race past. Yeah.
If he didn't do that, I was going to say, can River take out her scimitar?
Nice.
So you guys are now out of Prideborn.
Okay. Thank God.
What's left of Prideborn?
Which you guys go, and Kit kind of slows down and turns so you guys can all see what's happening. And you see the main kingdom and castle of Prideborn collapse into the ground, where there is a large red portal. And all along the rim of this portal, you see hundreds and hundreds of creatures crawling from the edges up onto the land. And you see, you know when you hit a fire hydrant and it sprays straight up in the air?
Mm-hmm. See the movies.
You see that? But of dragons that are now coming from this portal.
Issuing out of
this. Fountaining out of this.
Gosh.
Going up. And they all kind of go in the same direction. The direction Nicholas Mage was going, which was a little bit more south. And you see the red kind of fade. And in its place is just scorched earth.
So, an apocalypse.
Ragnarok.
Yeah.
Armageddon.
Okay, so
are we heading back to?
It's up to you guys. I'm assuming so.
We need to reconvene with the rest of the Coalition of Light and get in contact with Smarldor and.
Okay.
Yep.
You guys.
I was gonna pathicate, but I think we'll just go there. Yeah. So
you guys go with Kit to Hagwarts, and Kit kind of drops you guys off outside, and he says, I have some thinking to do. I kind of lost my master, and everything's a little crazy.
I'm going to put my hand on his mane and kind of put my forehead against his, and I'm going to tell him, thank you, Kit. You always have a friend in us. You know.
I appreciate the help, Kit.
Yeah, and we'll be
really
here for you.
A mistake.
And he's like, thank you all. And he's like,
and he's like, I go straight up to him and I go, yeah, fuck him, right?
Yeah, and he's like, yeah, I'm with you guys there. And he just kind of turns around and slowly walks back into the woods. And
can I ask him before? Okay, well, I was gonna say, can I ask him before he leaves?
We need to get one of his eyelashes.
That's exactly it. Yeah, I'm gonna ask him if I can have an eyelash so we can stay in contact. I'm going to tell him, listen, I'm not going to try to take it. If you don't want me to, I won't. But I feel like maybe we need to stay in contact.
Yeah, and he goes, right now, I'm just not up for that. I got some figuring out to do. He's like, but I will come find you guys when I'm ready and kind of figure out what my role is now. So I appreciate you guys, and I wish you well, and, you know, keep fighting, but I just gotta figure some stuff out. And he kind of slowly walks away.
Can I assume travel time counted as a rest so I can get my head back?
Yeah, that's fine. So you guys get back to Hagwarts, and Bert's there. He's still sitting on a couch, like, kind of nursing some wounds. And as you guys walk in, Bert kind of goes, hey, guys, when I was up on the roof, I grabbed this, and he kind of reaches in his pocket, and he goes, I have no clue what this is, but it looks valuable, and it is a golden diamond crystal that he's holding that's attached to a metal chain. And he's like, one of the priests that I came in contact with had this on him, and it was shiny. And he's like, any idea?
I cast Legend Lore on the object.
Okay.
You already know what it says, so I don't need to explain it again.
We'll say this is when
this
you
is
get...
driving me crazy. Just so you know that this is driving me crazy, but
no, I unfortunately don't know anything about that. Okay. As Erebus.
Okay. So, you learn from all these secret lores that there are a lot of underground books that the followers of Titan use. It's handwritten stories. It's all these little scribbles about the amazing things Titan has done. And all of these great displays of chaos and these followers that worshipped him, and he treated them really well. People that worshipped him, he fed off of that. And as a reward, he would give them little puzzle boxes with a diamond. Now, he's been gone a very, very long time. So this isn't something that exists in the native form of, oh, this is a diamond Titan crafted for you. It's something priests have found to kind of make a off-brand version of that they show their true allegiance to. So
they found different jewels in the modern world that use them to kind of represent, I am a follower of Titan.
Yeah, like, I'm legit. Yeah. Like, I was with Titan before he was cool.
If he's still around, I would have, you know, a medal of diamond.
Yeah, so it was basically a gift that was told Titan would give to these people who would do deeds for him and, like, create chaos, spread the word of his name, mm-hmm. and all that. So they're kind of like a mark of
loyalty.
And one of them, a long time ago, thought it would be prudent because they needed a crystal for a certain spell to do it using that, which ties in with someone's backstory. Mm-hmm.
Two of them, actually.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd like to... Hey, Bert, can I have that?
Yeah.
I take it to Smartledore, and I ask him... I tell him what I'm sure he probably already knows, mm-hmm. but I say, is this real?
And he goes, I don't think so. I think this is a false one that, you know, the casual followers of Titan are... Or doing, you know.
So we could use it to cast falsely mark ourselves as priests of Titan.
Is it magical?
There's nothing really magical about it, except for it was definitely made by using some sort of magic to tint the crystal and shape it. But
so it definitely is a fake.
Yeah, it's definitely a fake.
Okay.
Well, we need to just talk to Smartledore in general.
Yeah.
Tell him what happened. He was there.
Smartledore wasn't there.
No, Smartledore can't he wasn't there.
So tell him everything that happened.
Yeah.
Smartledore made us go to the ceremony, but he didn't show up.
He has other shit to do.
And we don't.
Does he want me to destroy it? Does he want it out of Hogwarts? Does he want
He says it's nothing that's dangerous, and it could be useful in the future.
I said, hang on,
I'll put it in my bag of holding then.
Impersonate somebody.
Okay.
But you guys fill Smartledore in, and when you tell him about David, he collapses to the ground. He is shaken to his core that one of the people he really trusted turned, and
taken over, right?
Smartledore kind of explains he's talked to Lazarus, he's talked to all these people who have been taken over. And if you don't remember, he said that Lazarus's friendship with you let his guard down.
That's right.
With the death of the 23 that happened in the winter, David it lost a piece of himself.
Weakened his resolve. Uh-huh.
Yeah. And he says it sounds like from what happened and how quickly the takeover happened, David's leaning into it.
Oh.
He's kind of going with the flow with Nicholas Mage taking over. So it's possible he knew beforehand that he was there. Or if it's happening and he's like, well, I have this power now and I can finally, I don't have to be this goody two-shoes. I can kind of lean into this a bit more. So he's deeply concerned about what's happening.
I guess he's not necessarily a demon, so... Yeah. He is definitely evil. Mm. Wouldn't going with something like that ruin his relationship with his deity as a paladin?
Yeah.
Unless he's getting power from a different deity. So
yeah, the demigod Nicholas Mage.
Yeah, I think Nicholas Mage is kind of feeding him some of this power and kind of converting his paladin power to an anti-paladin.
And he wasn't just... He was also, like, very, very strong and very, you know... He wasn't just a... you know, he didn't only have holy magic. He had...
He was unique.
Yeah.
Anyway.
He'd be a powerful adversary.
I pathicate to David Horselhoff slash Nicholas Mage.
Yep. You pathicate and you hear a... Ha! And then nothing.
I do it again.
Nothing.
Nothing.
You should try it again, though.
Well, so he's cutting it off. But is there a way that I can get a word in?
Like, try it again.
I do it again.
Nothing happens.
Fuck you.
One more time, there's a...
Damn it.
It doesn't matter what you rolled.
It's just a long raspberry.
I do it. I do it all day for 24 hours. No, I'm kidding.
He wipes out all of his eyelashes.
Okay, so Smartledore says, I have a lot to think about. I suggest you guys get some rest. Smartledore out and disappears. Hmm. So what do you guys do?
I think... Well, I had something... okay.
What do you want to do?
Well, I'd like to find Smartledore. Can I find Smartledore?
You go to his office, he's not there.
I check the top right drawer.
It's locked.
I use knock.
Doesn't open.
Okay.
You could always pathicate him.
Well, I guess I could. Yeah, I pathicate him.
And he goes, yes, Garrow.
I know that you may need some time to think and all of that, but I am concerned, as a friend, about you. I never asked about your cane.
Yeah.
Mm. Is there anything that I can do to help you?
And he just kind of says, you know, everyone deals with their battles in a different way. And he says, don't worry about the cane. He's like, running a school, putting together the coalition, and the good and the bad that has come with that takes its toll. And he's like, remember, I am centuries of years old. I am a very, very old person. I'm a mortal, Geralt. He's like, but that doesn't mean I don't just get exhausted.
Mm. Okay. Well, you know I'm here if you need me.
Roll an insight check.
I was actually going to ask, but I said, I thought 17 plus... Sorry.
You get the feeling that there's more that he's not saying.
8. Okay, I press a little further.
Okay. And he says, In due time, if it's necessary, you will know what I know.
Hmm.
But it has nothing relating to Nicholas Mage. So don't worry, I'm not hiding information about the bad guy from you.
Well, I know you wouldn't do that, but I feel like you are hiding something from me.
And he goes, everyone's personal battles are their own.
I think he's a figure of authority and also my friend, and I don't think that I would press the issue any further, even though I know that I probably may be able to get something else out of him.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like if he wants to be left alone, I'm going to respect that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think you respect him enough to let him tell you in his own time. I think we just kind of rest. You know, there's really nothing else to do right now except recover.
Okay. You guys...
We have a dream.
No, actually. Something wakes you up in the middle of the night. You collapse on your beds and fall asleep, and Geralt, you wake up in the middle of the night, and there is a red figure standing in your room.
With an excited knee.
River, you have a orange figure in your room. Topher, you have a green figure in your room. And Erebus, you have a blue figure in your room. And all of them, which you wouldn't know at the time, simultaneously say, follow me. We need to talk.
Yeah.
Okay. Insight check? No, that's not really... I'm not going to be able to...
Yeah, you got nothing to get.
That's a statement.
The blue light
they walk through the door in all your rooms.
I've learned from the blue light that Lazarus left behind when he died. That
arcane check.
When a light...
23.
Appears, you fall.
This is super awesome magic. Super light up awesome magic.
Okay.
So you follow?
I'm following.
Yeah, cautiously, but
I'm a little sad mine's not green, but I follow him.
I assume that I grab my stuff. real quick?
Yeah, you can grab your stuff. You guys all kind of walk out of your rooms, and it's a circular room, so you all kind of exit together, and you see Lazarus and Bert come out. Lazarus has a purple figure, and Bert has a white figure. All in this kind of ethereal glow. And
wait, hold on. Is this like when Captain Planet comes? We all have the different colored rings.
That's not what
with our is. Powers combined.
No.
Was I close?
So, as you guys kind of walk, it kind of motions for you to stop a little bit of a distance from the middle of the room, and all of these figures merge together in the center of the room and show one female figure of light of rainbow colors who is standing before you with her hands clasped together.
It's Mrs. Captain.
And in her lap.
It's Mrs. Captain.
So, guys, those were all the colors of the rainbow, and so they all came together to form.
Love it.
Okay, so it's Oyarsa. Now, so Oyarsa is standing in front of you, and she looks really sad. Because you guys haven't had contact with her for years.
Mm-hmm.
Since the last vision where you found out that she dropped off Nicholas Mage to be an orphan, you have had no shared dreams, no visions, no anything. And she is really kind of taking her time in this moment, standing in front of you, kind of building up the courage to talk. And she says, my apologies, first of all, for not contacting you sooner. I have been the one giving you these images, these visions, these shared dreams for what seems like 100 reasons. And she says, I wanted to give you the story before the story. I wanted understanding and hope for that. And I'm hoping that you all still trust me. But this is the hardest thing I have ever had to do. And after tonight, this is the last time I'll be contacting you. And she looks over and kind of chuckles at Topher. Unless you ask me for some guidance, Topher. And she looks back at the rest of you. And you notice that she's really not looking at one part of the room. You guys are kind of encircling her, and she's talking to the group. But she's not really turning her head towards Lazarus. And she's explaining, I have one last thing to show you, and then I'm going to leave you alone. I've interfered enough, and I've broken so many rules. I don't know what I'll be allowed to do from here. But I want to show you the final piece of the puzzle. All I ask is that you understand. And she kind of looks at all of you. She lifts up a hand, and light fills the room, and you guys find yourself in the middle of a city street. It is a dirt road, you know, a fantasy street, you get it, with lots of houses, a few different alleyways and different roads that main people use for carriages, and you hear a loud screeching sound, like very high-pitched, like a squeak, but sustained. Something is in a lot of pain, and she's standing in the street, and she kind of looks over towards one of the alleys. What do you do?
I ask her what she would like us to do.
And she just kind of motions you without making eye contact over to the alley.
Question to the DM.
Yeah.
Can we interact in this?
You notice that there are like one or two people kind of going around in the streets. It's the dead of night. It's like really dark out there. There's one or two people, but as far as you can tell, you are not actually a part of what's happening here.
So we're seeing, but we're not.
You're seeing, but you can't interact.
Then this is, absolutely, I go that direction.
This is like a Christmas Carol type shit.
Okay.
And she kind of follows you all as you all kind of make your way over to the alley, and you see a shadowy figure by some garbage cans kind of moving around. And from the streetlights cascading around one of the buildings, you see a skeletal large tail whip out into the alley. And you hear this squealing, squeaking sound that just gets cut short, and you kind of hear chewing. And there's a little bit more movement, more into the light, and you see a creature. It's very skeletal. It has flaps of skin hanging from its face, of what you would call a face, where a face should be, because it's bone, with gnarled, sharp teeth, horns kind of protruding from the skull. It's very lizard-like. It's got basically like one human hand and another kind of lizard hand with some scales, but a lot of it deteriorates into bone. It is just this nasty, gnarled creature, and it is chewing on a large rat. And it seems to be kind of angrily digging into this thing. And you see behind it a light. And you see a woman standing there with hair that tends to kind of be changing color between red, brown, black, and the light. And she goes, "Nicholas, what are you doing?" And the creature turns around with a start and goes, "No, get away from me. No, please, this was not my fault. If your father could see you now, there would be... I don't know. There's still a chance for you. There are many strange things in this world." And he goes, "Strange? You don't understand. I was normal. I was perfectly normal." And he's like, "And then I just turn?" And she's like, "It wasn't me. They said there would be a punishment for me having an affair on this plane and having a child. And so I gave it up to not cause problems. But they said that you would be cursed, an abomination. I didn't know what that would be. And I never imagined this." And he's like, "Just get away from me." And she looks kind of heartbroken while talking to him. And she goes, "Listen, I want to try to make it up to you." "No!" And starts like kind of walking away. And she's like, "Nicholas, stop." And he kind of stops. And she says, "You have about 20 seconds before a man starts walking by this alley. You need to move forward and you need to grab him and you need to drag him here." And he goes, "What?" And she's like, "You're running out of time. Go to the corner now and grab him or else you'll be seen." And he goes, Okay. And he runs over and a man in some nice robes walks by and he grabs him and pulls him into the alley and muffles his screams. And she goes, "Please forgive me." And she places a hand on Nicholas. And Nicholas dissipates into a ball of smoky astral consciousness. And she takes it and she puts it into the chest of the man laying in the alley. And she says, "I cannot fix what has happened to you." And she's like, "But I can help you change your shape. You can be normal again. You can take this man's identity. You can be yourself. You don't have to deal with everything that you're dealing with. Like, I'm trying to fix it with the only way I know how." And the man kind of wakes up and it's Nicholas. And he stares at her and he goes, "How did you..." And she says, "I am risking everything. No one can know that I was here doing this for you. Please, I love you. You're my son." And he just stands there quiet, kind of looking at his hands as he's kind of squeezing them together. And she goes, "Please say something. I'm granting you basically immortality by being able to jump from a person. Just please speak to me. Let's have a conversation." And he looks at her and he kind of turns his head and she goes, "I'll give you time. But if you ever need me, please call out to me and I will come to you." And she disappears. And time freezes. And the Oyarsa that's with you walks over to Nicholas. And she kind of puts a hand on his shoulder. And the scene changes. And you see a young boy working in a school, learning magic. It's not Hagwarts. It's kind of like a kind of an offshoot one. and he's learning and he's doing pretty good. And he's kind of developing sorcery. And there's a lot of other kids, and it cuts to a little bit later down in the years when he's a little bit older, about age 14, and he's still learning, and he's gotten really good with some magic. Like, he's one of the top of his class, but as he's displaying for a test what he's able to do, the skin starts melting off of his hand. And he's standing in front of the classroom as all these kids start shrieking in terror, and the teacher takes out their wand and tries blasting Nicholas as he dodges out of the way and runs out of the classroom as folds of skin are falling off of him and he starts growing a tail and he starts changing because he's being punished because he is an abomination of a demigod. he runs out and he runs home to his adopted parents. And he goes, Mom, Dad, and they are in terror, looking upon him. And they go, it's fine, let's just get some rest, maybe you can sleep it off? And he lays down and goes to sleep, and it shows him wake up in a start as his mother is above him with a knife, bringing it down onto him, and he rolls out of the bed, and his father comes at him and tries grabbing him and holding him to the ground, and he reacts like anyone would do, and he slaughters his mother and his father in his bedroom. And he runs, and he hides, and he avoids being seen by people all over the world. And Oyarsa brings it all back to that alley where Nicholas is standing in that guy's body. And she steps back and lets time resume. And Nicholas looks up and says, I will kill all of you. And the vision stops. And as that vision stops, Oyarsa collapses to her knees and she is bawling. And she looks over at Lazarus and she says, I had no idea. I had no idea that this would happen to you or your family. I was trying to make it better. This was all a mistake. It was a mother's love trying to help her son. And Lazarus just turns around and slams his door going back into his room. And she's standing there and she kind of regains her composure. And she goes, now you understand. She's like, I cannot stop my own son, but he's my son. But I need people, and I think you have the potential to end my mistake. There's got to be a way, and I trust you, and I will help you as much as I can, but you need to know the truth. And she's just standing there. So what do you guys say?
Boy, that's heavy.
Yeah. As a god, wouldn't you be able to just wipe him out? I mean, I understand that it would mean a great sacrifice from you, but you're looking at your immortality as a god versus the world burning.
And she said, I could do that if I felt like there was no other option. She's like, there's things preventing me, and he has grown strong on his own, and there is a resistance there that I cannot seem to break through. I'm an ascendant, but I'm a minor ascendant. I didn't master a spell school. I didn't do any of that. And basically, right now, I'm getting the cold shoulder from everyone else on the plane of gods. She's like, it is torturous up there for me right now. And she kind of goes, that's where I need to go down different avenues. I need help, and the world needs help, and I am willing to assist you in any way that I can, and I know Smartledor is a powerful wizard, and he's going to help you in any way you can, but I believe in you, and I think you can do this, but you need to know the story.
Our way is going to cause a lot more pain to him as well.
I think we need to know what we're up against if we're going to stop him in any way, shape, or form. What can you tell us specifically about what he is, the powers that he has, what his weaknesses are?
He's an incredibly powerful sorcerer. His weakness, I'd probably say, is pride. You may be able to maybe outsmart him to let his guard down or something. There may be something you can do. I don't know. Like I said, he's powerful, and what I can do is I can see the future, and he has a cloud over everything for me. And that's why he wants Titan. His Titan is strong enough to invade this plane of the gods and kill us all, as well as everything on this planet.
So he thinks that's the only option?
That's his main goal, is to unleash Titan onto the world and watch everything burn.
Why that point, when you helped him, did he decide that he wanted to kill everyone?
He's just anger, rage about the injustice of him being cursed and being put in that situation. The fact that and she kind of like looks around and she goes, I should have talked to him sooner. I left him alone.
He was essentially cursed by the gods? Okay. So he's wanting to go after vengeance for
creating him into a monster.
Got it. Okay.
And having his adopted family turn on him.
Are there any gods on your side?
On my side?
On your side?
Not really.
Do you have
I really put myself
any
in
friends?
I hope you guys would kind of be my friends, but I understand your feelings right now, and if you want to hate me, you can hate me, but I tried to do the right thing at the time, and it was a mistake.
Listen, I'm a problem solver, but the only solution I have right now is defeat, in some way, shape, or form, and that doesn't seem like the best option. Is there any type of banishment or binding or...
Can you tell us any more about the abilities you used to put him in a body? Or
what she basically did was sacrifice some of her power. Oh. She drained herself to be able to grant him. A demigod kind of dances between both of those worlds, and she kind of gave him an extra piece to kind of shift the balance of person god. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. A little more god than person.
Mm. Topher walks up and he faces her, kneels next to her and across from her, and he puts his hand on her shoulder and he says, "Brother to sister, friend to friend, yours, I am yours in life and death."
She gets a big smile on her face and cries. She's so very grateful
and
to you.
And Topher kisses her beautiful, colorful head and goes back into his room.
Okay, she's like, "Thank God it wasn't on the lips. I really thought..." "I really thought you were going to make a move, Topher." And then I gotta
Topher's
going to
make another Nicholas. Nicholas Dose.
I pathicate to Smarldor. "Listen, I know you don't want to be bothered. Oyars is here.
Ooh.
Do you have any questions for her?"
It sounds like you just kind of like maybe he's sleeping but still talking to you.
Okay.
Like it sounds kind of off. He sounds a little wavy gravy. But he's like, I guess why? Why break these rules that she had?"
"Okay. That's helpful."
And then you can kind of hear him like, "Ships.
Smarldor.
Smarldor."
"Get some rest, old buddy. Okay, I ask Oyars, then, what's the rest of the story? Why did you break the rules to have a child? I assume for love, but
yeah.
You know the consequences."
"It wasn't for love, it was for that good, good Dickens."
Do you know who his father is? Maybe that would be useful.
There's a vision where you kind of see the father. He was the one feeding the children, and then he got really sick, which was another punishment of the gods for an unforbidden thing that they were together.
How did she come in contact with...
She was human, became really good at being able to see the future. That was like her school of magic, really focusing on being able to see the future and predict and get that real clairvoyance. So she ascended under those rules.
Okay.
And one of the promises when you're ascended is that you get followers and worshippers, which kind of add to your power and to your mainstay as a god and gets your name out and more followers. And he was a follower of Oyarsa. And... what he would do is he requested nothing of her, but believed in her, followed her, and just prayed to help him be a good man. And he did a lot of things to be a really good man in his community and outside of that. He would venture around. He studied medicine, and he would go around and he'd help people.
Mm-hmm.
And he would contact her and pray to her, but it wasn't for, help. It was for conversation, because he was kind of infatuated, and then she became infatuated, and she saw that he was, probably the most pure human being on the planet. So instead of being prayed to, she would come down and start having actual physical conversations as the girl with the changing hair.
Sure.
And they fell in love. They started having like dinner together, and then one thing kind of led to another, and it was...
We all know how babies are made.
Yep, we all know how babies are made.
So I'd ask her, what are the rules? Do you have a list of rules?
Yeah, I am not allowed on the mortal plane once I've ascended. I'm not allowed to come down here. She's like, obviously, I've broken that rule a lot. She says, we are definitely not supposed to have any sort of relationship with a follower, mm-hmm. other than getting praise and using that to use your magic, basically.
Okay. So your penalty is damnation for your son. Smarteldor's is immortality, but he can't use his magic for
a lot
evil
of
or whatever. Do you know Smarteldor?
She's like, no, and she kind of, it looks like she's concentrating really hard. And she goes, maybe? No. No, I mean, I've seen the things he's done. And she just kind of looks like confused now.
I would like to ask her if... How do I fucking do this?
Well, are you kind of explaining to her the connection of memories
exactly.
between people?
Yeah, exactly. So I'm noticing that there are missing memories from two demigods. Mm. And that seems peculiar. And I think it's something worth investigating. And if you've broken the rule once or twice or however many hundreds of times to come and see us, I would ask that this would not be the last time that we speak with you. Because I think that you and Smarteldor need to talk.
And she says, I'll try to contact Smarteldor tomorrow.
Okay. I don't really see any other solution to that. I'd like to stay and just keep her company for as long as she sticks around.
She's not able to stick around long. Okay. She kind of tells you that...
well, then I just want her to know that back. I understand her dilemma. Mm-hmm. Just because I don't... And that I'm going to do everything in my power to help in any way that I can, and hopefully not destroy if it comes down to that, Nicholas Mage.
And
I'm telling her that I understand and that I'm looking for other options.
Yeah, and she kind of turns around and then kind of looks back at you guys and says, whatever needs to happen, he just must be stopped. And then she disappears. Okay, so you two went to bed, so it's just Topher, Bert, and
Topher went back in Geralt. The room after he...
Oh.
Yeah, Topher went to
bed. Okay, yeah. Okay, Bert probably goes back.
I go down to Smarteldor's
office. Topher's waiting in his room, hoping that Oyarsa comes in there.
As you... Doesn't happen. As you're walking towards the door, you hear, like, scraping coming from Lazarus's room.
Okay. Well, then I'll go to his room first.
Okay.
And knock on the door. I'm not going to pathicate to him, and I'm not going to shout or say, hey, you need to come out here or anything like that. I'm going to be respectful, and I'm just going to knock on his door and hey, buddy. Is there anything you need? I know this is hard for you, but...
You knocked on the door?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. He says, come in.
Okay, I go in.
He's sharpening his axe, body spray. And he's kind of sitting on a bed, kind of looking off at the wall. And he goes, I will never follow her. I don't trust her. I will put up with the fact that she's an ally to everyone. And he goes, but if the time comes... I want the last hit on Nicholas Mage.
If it comes down to that, buddy, you know I'll support you in that. But we are trying to find other ways
to... Can I hear any of this through the wall?
To contain
No.
Dispel or trap or banish or whatever. He may be unkillable. We literally don't know. And I need you to be flexible, even with this powerful vengeance that you have. Trust me as a friend to know that I will do everything in my power.
He kind of smirks while still looking at the wall, and he says, I will try.
All right, buddy.
By the way, can I just say how much I love that every time you say his axe, you name it. Every single time. His axe body spray.
I wanted to say that his room smells really good when he's sharpening his axe.
Okay.
Writing all this stuff, Yarsa's become one of my favorite characters, so that's been an exciting adventure that I feel like we've both been on. Me and this fictional character, always out adventuring. Go on to iTunes, subscribe, rate us, review us, like us on whatever podcasting thing you use, because we will be on there. And thank you.